The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm with Dave Kellner, John Babb and Gareth Topham in the studio. Good day of racing to look forward to, with national hunt meetings at both Doncaster and Ludlow. We also have all-weather racing on the poly track at Lingfield in the afternoon. We'll finish the day with an all-weather fixture at Kempton Park in the evening. Four meetings to look forward to then. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Gareth Topham. How are you, Gareth?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, Mark. Are we, I don't want to jinx it, but are we getting to the end of this bad spell of weather? I don't think there are any inspections for any meetings this week.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
When was the last time we had a full house of meetings throughout the course of an entire week? It was a very, very long time ago. Mm. But as it stands, I think everything this week is due to go ahead. So, yeah, nice to have plenty of racing on.
Yes, and the good news with the dry weather is, with it being only 3 weeks to the festival, Cheltenham is drying out as well, which is nice. At the moment, conditions are soft, heavy in places, and a bit more dry weather, and we'll have decent enough ground, which is important.
Yeah, we can be hopeful, can't we? I mean, if this weather keeps up, there is no doubt that the Cheltenham Festival is going to be run in very testing ground. I know Cheltenham dries out well, but let's be real about this. We have had a completely freak winter where it's rained, everywhere is flooded. We could really do with a couple of dry weeks now in the run-up to Cheltenham. Otherwise, we're going to be getting a testing ground at the Cheltenham Festival. Don't care what anybody says, and I know we're on two courses over the course of the 4 days, but we do need a bit of a dry spell in order. The water tables are so high, we just need a dry spell in order for things to become a little better ground-wise. But hopefully, and Cheltenham so often, you know, as we say, year by year, provided good, proper jumping ground, and hopefully that'll be the case once again. But we do need this rain to stop.
We do, yes. Hopefully it will, and hopefully we haven't jinxed it by saying that it looks like we've got the worst out of the way. While we're on the subject of the festival then, only 3 weeks to go as we record this on the Tuesday. Anything on your shortlist so far, Gareth? Have you set up an anti-post portfolio?
It'd be a pretty thin portfolio. I've had one anti-post bet so far. In fairness, it's probably the only one I'll have. I don't really go much for the anti-post sort of markets. I know you get, you know, non-runner, no bet, that sort of thing, but particularly at this stage, I think whatever's going to run at the Cheltenham Festival will be either a very similar price or even a shade bigger come the day, particularly with races like the Champion Hurdle, the World Hurdle. We don't know where Addy Power is going yet, so things like that. But the anti-post bet I've actually had at the moment is Corin Wood for the RSA Chase. This is a horse who I've absolutely grown to love this season. I think it was might have been Craig Forsyth who just pointed him out to me. I was in here one day. I think he won at Catterick. And I followed his progress since. And what he did at Warwick last time out, I thought was absolutely spectacular. And I think he's got as good a chance as any in the RSA. And looking at the prices in front of me, I'm quite glad I got the bet on when I did, because I've got him at a bit bigger than 10s.
Well, he's 8s with us.
8s, so, right.
Yeah. Bally Casey heading that betting at 4-1. And he was very impressive last time we saw him. So and Smad Place in there as well, 7-1. Also leading contenders. It's warming up to be a good race, the RSA.
Yeah, I mean, the RSA Chase is one of those races which, you know, you really need a hardy horse. This race really does sort the men out from the boys, as it were. And, I mean, we saw last year it was fought out between two quite big-priced runners. Favourite was in front at the last, came to grief. And if you go back through the history of the race, you know, the likes of Nick Dundee have crashed out in this race. Very, very hot favourites. Plenty of them as well coming across from Ireland. It usually is won by a horse who, you know, is really hardy, from the toughest calibre of horse. And, you know, particularly with the ground as it could well be this year, it's going to be no different. It's going to be a fascinating race. I think you need to jump, get yourself into a good rhythm, and be able to get up a hill as well. And Corin Wood, for me, ticks all those boxes. I have not seen a novice chaser, a staying novice chaser, jump as solidly as this horse has done this season. I haven't seen another horse do the same thing.
Okay, good stuff. If I were to ask you for a festival nap at this point, would he be pretty high up on the shortlist?
Yeah, at the prices, I think he's a fantastic bet. I'm sitting pretty now. I just hope he turns up. In terms of a nap, oh, that's a difficult one. Not sure. No, I don't think I could have a nap. There's nothing I'd pin everything on. I'd be really interested in seeing where Annie Power goes.
Yeah.
Because I've got a feeling whatever race she turns up in, she'll win.
Okay.
But I don't know where she's going. We're not going to find out where she's going until the week, probably. So. No.
We do have a market on the website at the moment to win at the 2014 Cheltenham Festival. So that's any race. Annie Power's 11-4 in that market. If you think she'll win whichever race she goes for, 11-4 must be quite appealing.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, if she goes to the Champion Hurdle, of course, she gets the an allowance for being a mare. And I think the speed that she's shown over 2 miles, I know she hasn't beaten a great deal so far, but it was the same thing with Under So. And now, of course, I think Willie Mullins is opting to bypass Cheltenham with Under So, but still run Annie Power. So, I mean, she's unbeaten. She's done absolutely nothing wrong, and she, of course, she does have to prove that she stays 3 miles if she goes for the World Hurdle, but I think she'll stay. And there's just holes to pick with, particularly in the World Hurdle field, many of her seemingly main rivals. So, I mean, if she goes for the Champion Hurdle, it's the hottest champion I've ever seen.
Yeah. We'll move on to the Champion.
The Champion Hurdle is well, cannot wait.
No, you've got, the betting looks like this: Hurricane Fly is 11-4, the new one 3-1, My Ten Ayers 4-1, Our Connor 9-2, Annie Power 8s, Jeski 10s, Under Sue is 14s, and then 25-1 for Melodic Rendezvous, 66-1 or bigger prices. The rest, the Twist and Davis camp are making good noises about the new one once again. They're saying that the pace wouldn't worry them if it was a slow pace in the race, and that would. Well, it wouldn't suit the likes of Hurricane Fly or My Ten Ayers, should that be the case. We saw My Ten Ayers win very comfortably in a jumper's bumper at the weekend. Everything looks perfectly fine with him.
He's a bit, I tell you what, he'd be a good horse on the flat. Yeah. I'd love to see him race in the summer.
Cruise round, didn't he?
Absolutely. I mean, he pulled his way round, and he's beaten inferior opposition, but I'd love to see him in the summer at somewhere like York or something. I think he'd be a machine on the flat. I still don't think he'll win the champion.
Okay.
I think Ireland's going to provide the winner, myself.
So that means you think it's between Hurricane Fly, Our Connor, and Annie Power if she goes to the race?
Yeah.
And Jeski, I suppose?
Not so much Jeski. I think Jeski's got more questions to ask now than a couple of the others. Hurricane Fly, don't get me wrong, he's a fantastic horse. He's a world record beater and all that. Fine. Not questioning this horse whatsoever, but... how old is he now? 10 or 11?
11, I think.
11. Yeah, he is going to have to be arguably the greatest champion of them all if he's to beat this field, I think. I really do. And let's not forget the two champion hurdles that he's won so far. He beat Peddler's Cross, who the following season went on, and Kyber Kim. Kyber Kim's now point-to-pointer. Peddler's Cross went over fences the season after, won two soft events, and then I don't think we've ever seen him since. And last year he beat Rock on Ruby, who was, you know, the winner, of course, the year before, in a stronger run affair, who's now, of course, going novice chasing and is a big Arkle candidate. So, for me, this year, this is going to be the first real time Hurricane Fly has taken on solid out-and-out two-mile speedballs over the hurdles. And at his age, I think he's going to have to be an absolute world-beater to beat some of these. I don't get me wrong, I think he's got a great chance, but is the race going to be run to suit him? Again, not sure. And this opposition is the strongest he's ever faced. Hmm. So, at the prices, for me, he's not value.
Okay, he's 10 years old, actually, not 11.
10,
I've done a disservice. But still, the point remains that he'd have to probably do a career... his best performance at Cheltenham at the age of 10. We know how good he is over in Ireland, but he's never really quite reached those heights at Cheltenham, has he? He beat Rock on Ruby in a year that's probably not the strongest, and like I said, the other one wasn't the strongest renewal either.
If this race was at Leopardstown on heavy ground, I'd say, yeah, definitely, he'd be the bet, but I'm just not so sure around here. I know he's won two champion hurdles, and that probably sounds daft, but this is a mint race. This is incredible. Although, I am against the next two in the market. I can't have the new one. I don't think he jumps well enough.
No, that's...
for me. It cost him the Christmas hurdle. It didn't cost him the international hurdle. But, you know, he only beat Zarkander, who as was proved last year, nowhere near quick enough. And the race he won at Cheltenham last year, they went a crawl all the way through. My tent or yours was visually stunning on the weekend. Has done nothing wrong this season. Bolted up in the fighting fifth. Got the better of the new one in that titanic battle for the Christmas hurdle. Beaten up the hill last year by Champagne Fever. I think he can battle. He showed that at Kempton. But Kempton's right-handed and flat. This is a completely different ball game, and I just think, again, he might just be found wanting.
Yeah.
The more and more I look at it, and a lot of people knew I was on Arcona last year, they're going to say hard overhead. But Arcona, for me, is ticking the boxes. I know already this year he's been beaten by Hurricane Fly, but I just think this race is going to suit him better. If you look back at his Triumph Hurdle last year, they went a madcap gallop all the way around. He cruised into the lead with a quarter of a mile to go. And once the rider pushed the button, they didn't see which way he went. And the more and more I look at it, his profile becomes ever more compelling. And I can see Arcona maybe being the one in what is a huge puzzle for the Champion Hurdle. And then, of course, you've got Annie Power. If she gets in, you know, she'll probably beat them all.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic race.
It is a great race. And
who bet in it?
I'm inclined to agree with you with O'Connor. I think a championship pace, and if he's ridden more prominently like he was in the Triumph Hurdle last year, I think that will suit him if he actually goes and takes on Hurricane Fly.
Yeah.
excuse me, I think O'Connor could be the each-way play in the race at around 9-2, something like that. But unfortunately, we're running out of time, so we must move on. And it's good that we get to move on to Wednesday's race because there's a good card at Doncaster. I always like jumping at Doncaster. I think I say that every podcast that we talk about it.
It's good. It's not used enough.
No.
There are certain tracks. Ascot's another.
Yeah.
Jumping at Ascot's fantastic. It's not used enough.
Yeah, and we're going to look at three races, the first of which
is
the 3:25, and this is a veterans handicap chase, a class 2 handicap over 3 miles, and some proper good old performers in here, Gareth.
Oh, it's a quality affair. Tim Vaughan now trains Massini's Maguire, who makes a return to the track having had 732 days off, a horse who's got a bit of a checkered history. He's clearly got legs made of glass, but ultimately he's a very, very classy performer on his day. He is a past Cheltenham Festival winner. Very good chaser as well, and he has got a record of going well fresh, so if he's fully tuned up, I can see him going very close. Main danger for me, Fruity O'Rooney. Gary Moore's team are in good form at the moment, and I think Fruity O'Rooney will probably be using this race as a sort of blow the cobwebs away before maybe another crack at a race at Cheltenham in a couple of weeks, one of the big handicaps, you know. But for me, it would only be tentative, but I think Massini's Maguire, if he still boasts that class, if he can still show that on course, he might just be the one to beat.
Okay, so
good race though.
It is a good race. Yeah, you could state a case for plenty of him in there, like Burton Port and Big Fella Thanks,
yeah,
and so on and so forth. Massini's Maguire then returning to the track at the age of 13 years old. It'd be great to see.
You know,
back.
They persisted with him for a reason, haven't they? You'd like to think so. So fingers crossed he runs well.
Okay. On to the 4:25. I don't suppose we could have you in here without talking about a Hunter Chase. It's the CJ Fox Hunter Trial, Open Hunter's Chase. It's over 3 miles and a quarter. And Palypso de Creek is going to be probably one that catches most people's eye in here. He's banging form at the moment.
Yeah, won a point-to-point couple of outings ago and won at Wetherby last time I was there that day. He was well punted, well fancied. It was a day and a race he'd won last year, but he'd won on that day at Wetherby the previous two seasons.
Yeah, he likes it Wetherby,
He absolutely loves it around there. This is going to be a bit different, and you could say that the opposition are at least as strong, if not a little stronger. I think he's got a great chance, and he'll be a hugely popular winner if he does go in. Foundry Square was disappointing last time out when pulled up, but won a decent race at Newbury the time before. If he's able to bounce back, I think he can go well. He was likely to shake up the likes of Green Flag at Kelso when he fell earlier on in the season. And one at a bigger price I'll throw at you, King Fontaine, who got no further than, I think, the fifth or sixth fence at Musselburgh last time out in a red-hot Hunter's Chase. Better race than this. King Fontaine, if he's none the worse for that experience, I think he's got the class to go well. Of course, one's very good under rules.
Okay. The final race we're going to look at is the 4:55. We finish with a two-mile bumper. And who's caught your eye for the lucky last?
Yeah, there's a horse here trained by Brian Ellison called Racing Europe. He gets weight from the principals in the betting market, likely the likes of Mont Royal, Relic Rock and Zero Shades of Grey, all of whom come into the race on the back of wins. Racing Europe found only 1-2 good at Musselburgh last time out, a useful looking sort from John Ferguson's team called El Namus, and I think without El Namus in the field, he's definitely got the class to get the better of the ones up at the top, and he gets weight from them as well. So Racing Europe for me.
Okay, Racing Europe in the final race there then. Thank you very much, Gareth, and
thank you.
Enjoy on Wednesday. So there you go, the thoughts of Gareth Topham on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. with Dave Kellner, John Babb and Gareth Topham in the studio. Doncaster, Lingfield and Ludlow are the afternoon meetings. We have evening racing from Kempton as well, so tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.